Good evening. This is Discount Dracula at the Restore. We need everything to literally make a home a castle. Furniture, appliances, cabinets, tools. As Dr. Stein says, let me be frank. We need it all. And when you donate to the Restore, proceeds go towards building new castles. I mean homes, right here in Sheridan County. So don't miss out. Too much is at stake. Donate to the Restore, 44 Fort Road. And on Halloween Day, get an extra 10% off your purchase if you're wearing your costume.
This is the Captain with Captain Clean. Are you noticing unnecessary dust in your home? If so, your ductwork may be telling you it's time for a cleaning. HVAC and furnace cleaning will undoubtedly optimize your furnace's performance and keep your indoor air quality free of unnecessary dust and allergens. If you like clean air and lower energy bills, call our experts at Captain Clean today and schedule your next HVAC cleaning. Captain Clean, affordable choices for healthy living.
It's Thursday, and SheridanMedia.com's Fall Online Marketplace Hot Buys are open today only. One day pop-up shop featuring local retailers, gifts, gear, goodies with starting bids at half price. Bidding closes at 8 p.m. tonight. Go to SheridanMedia.com. Click on that Fall Marketplace Hot Buys banner every Thursday. SheridanMedia.com's Fall Online Marketplace. Shop smart, shop local, shop today till 8 p.m.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
A very wet Thursday, October 16th. From Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. Joining me this morning is Sheridan County Commission Chair Lonnie Wright and Commissioner Christy Haswell. Good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning.
Good morning, Floyd.
Lonnie, I'm sorry you had to park so far down the parking
lot. I parked right in front of the office door.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I had like three steps in the rain.
I'm not sure if there's a handicap sign there.
Yeah, I knocked it down.
Got you in the door without having to wade through any puddles that are too deep, I hope.
No.
Yeah, it's pretty dang wet outside, although it is something that, you know, I've kind of been hoping happening for a while. I just wish it was a little warmer when it did that.
Right.
I really like it when it rains for a couple days in the summer.
Yeah.
But in the fall, I start getting worried about those early mornings.
Yeah. Well, so, thinking about where we were a year ago, I am so glad to see a nice, drizzly, maybe all weekend. I don't know what the forecast is, but, you know, in this part of the world, rain is pretty much always welcome. So.
Yeah. Have you, and kind of going off of what we talked about beforehand, has Weed and Pest updated you on the efforts going on out there at the Big Burn Scar, monitoring for those invasive grasses?
So, gosh, it's been a few months now, but we had a Forest Service Steering Committee meeting. Okay. So it's partners in the four counties that kind of overlay the Bighorn National Forest. But they are doing monitoring. They're working with the University of Wyoming's Imagine program and then doing some monitoring themselves. Really just waiting to see what's going to pop up, you know, this spring. I'm not sure how many treatments actually took place. You know, you don't want to treat placements where you have desirables that you want to come back. Yeah. So, but I did just hear this week, I had a wildlife trust meeting Tuesday over in Moorcroft, but it sounds like they might've found some more Ventanata down in Johnson County.
Yeah.
So just trying to stay on top of that. So the Weed and Pest districts are just so incredibly busy right now.
Oh, absolutely. We've got a guy who's dropping something out of an airplane. Now, I spoke to the mayor about it, and he said, yeah, that's exactly what he's doing. He's going over the house, drop burn scar, and he's trying to take care of these certain areas. Beforehand, every time he'd fly over the house, that is the loudest little plane I think I've ever seen in my life. And I thought, boy, is he doing training? Just trying to get some flight hours in? What's going on up there?
Yeah.
Because I swear, it's over top of my place.
Sounds like they're knocking the shingles off your roof.
Oh, it was incredible.
Yeah, Floyd, I'm on the I'm the liaison with the Weed and Pest District here in Sheridan County. And I can tell you that last summer, we had a seasonal working with weed and pest, and they were up on the mountain in the burn scar all over doing, I don't know if it's sampling is the right word, but they're doing, I guess, just looking.
Surveys.
And they, survey stuff. And I don't know enough of the details to say more than that, but I know there was like 300 different locations that they visited and took samples or whatever they did.
Holy but goodness.
They're looking to see what is maybe starting to pop up, you know, now, and where to concentrate efforts, I guess. So, yeah.
And as you said before, Commissioner, you know, when the spring hits, you know, we're all going to, if you live around there, if you walk in that area, even if you're just hitting some of those trails, keep an eye out. Learn how to identify those things. Mm-hmm. And if you happen to see them, let Walker and his team know.
Yeah.
Because we have got to stay on top of this stuff. As soon as the wife and I found out just exactly what our pilot was doing, well, that's fine then. You know, that's he can fly over the house as much as he wants. That completely changed our attitudes towards all of it. If he's got to do this day in, day out, as long as we stay ahead of that, I'm okay with the plane going over top of the house. I'm totally okay with that. Now, the county actually recently held a joint meeting with the city. When did that happen, Commissioner?
What's today? Thursday? It was Tuesday, I believe, at City Hall. And, pretty optimistic agenda was presented. The meeting lasted an hour, and we could have spent all day on any one of these items, I'm pretty sure. But, I don't know if you want to talk about all these items.
What was discussed?
Okay, well, we had Mayor Bridger and all of the city council folks there. I was there. Mike Arzee and Holly Jennings were in attendance. Christy was at another meeting, and Commissioner Siddle's on vacation, so he's back pretty soon. But anyway, the very first topic was the West Beltway issue, which, you know, is like a hornet's nest. No one wants to touch it. Get too close to it. But it is on everyone's mind at the meeting. We had the city engineer talk about an ongoing, I'm not sure if it's started yet or if it's almost finished, but a feasibility study, and just they have a route that is has had I don't know, rights of way or easements, whatever you want to call them, set aside within developments. And that's where a lot of the big rub comes from. People have built right adjacent to those rights of way, thinking that, oh, this will never happen. The possibility of gravel trucks right in their backyard is a worry.
Yeah.
I would agree. It's a worry. So. But anyway, we talked about that. There was questions about whether it's would be a city or a county road if it happens. And the city engineer, I think, is trying to tie it in with YDOT. So they're hoping to make it a, you know, state maintained.
That could get expensive, couldn't it? I mean, trucks going over top of even good hard asphalt on a hot day. That'd change a road.
I mean, some of the county roads I travel, when it's like this morning when it's raining, you can tell where the trucks drive because there's a dip.
Yep.
Where the heavy load is, it's got it packed down and water standing all down through there. So hydroplaning is an possibility.
Yeah.
So be careful out there. So, and tying in with that first. Tying in with that first topic was trucks going through town from the county into town and vice versa. So, I mean, there was a question about should there be a truck route? And I think that's what the Beltway would obviously end up being, is a truck route. We don't really have an option for a truck route now. I mean, not economically, we don't anyway.
So. That's got to be super expensive to even start thinking about. That's a long road.
Yeah.
Essentially, truck route would be kind of a highway built around the town. So you could literally drive around Sheridan and avoid it completely.
Yeah. I mean, I think the end game is for the West Side Beltway, whatever you want to call it, to start up at the interchange and the new interchange on I-90 and go all the way down around Sheridan on the west side down to Big East Road. So that's the ultimate plan. I don't know how many years of construction and arm twisting that will take, but that's the ultimate plan, I think. So.
If you were to estimate how long that would, the distance of that, what would you estimate that as? 5-6 miles?
I'd say more than that. I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
Not sure.
You know, and to Lonnie's point, you know, it is, nobody wants trucks in their backyard. So, you know, hopefully this feasibility study will look at some good options. But I think the option of not doing anything is even worse.
Yeah.
In terms of not having an established truck route and having those trucks go through town.
Yeah.
So. Now, when they talk about the trucks going through the city, are we talking like right downtown Main Street or what route do they generally take?
They come in on Lauk Street, which, you know, is Big Goose. They come into Lauk Street and the stop sign at Brook Street. They turn and go north. So they're a block over from Main Street to the west.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's not quite downtown, but pretty dang close.
Pretty dang close.
Yeah.
And again, the wear and tear on a road, and I'm not faulting anybody for this. It's just fact of the matter. Mm-hmm. The wear and tear on a road from heavy truck traffic, especially during those hot summer days, is pretty severe over time.
Yeah.
I worked some oil fields in the Dakotas, and boy, you could tell every place those water trucks went.
I was just, that was the first example that came to my mind. Some of those roads in those North Dakota towns were destroyed.
Pretty rough, weren't they?
Yeah.
You get stuck in those ruts and you're in a little car and you're just stuck in those ruts. That's
even
just the way it is.
The asphalt. Yeah.
So that wear and tear, I mean, that's significant expense over time to the city. And so I don't know enough about the situation to really make comment on it myself, but I hope this is something that gets resolved. As you said, this is probably pretty far out into the future.
I mean, I moved to Sheridan County in the early 90s, and it was a topic of discussion then.
Oh, wow, really?
And I think everybody involved wishes that they'd have done something back then because there was no development out in those areas, or, you know, not as much. There was probably some ranches and such, but no subdivisions like there are now. So,
So now we may be infringing on somebody's viewscape?
Viewscape, dust, noise, you name it.
Their road. I mean, ultimately, there's a road that's going to end up having to be used.
Yeah, and, you know, the other way to look at it is those easements were put in when that subdivision was planned. And they should have known that this could happen, I guess.
I would think, I remember speaking, I believe it was Stu McCray, about this situation quite a while ago. And he kind of said the same thing, where it was like, you know, this should have been discussed with realtors and the individuals who were going out there to purchase this.
Yeah.
That this is an absolute possibility. Now, I don't know the full situation. I can't comment on it myself, but I hope it gets resolved. They're signaling me for a break, but before I go there, I do want to ask, when residents hear donut area, what exactly does that mean in terms of jurisdiction and services? What is the donut area?
The donut area is the 1 mile circumference of the city boundary, mile out from the city border. So,
and it's a joint planning area. So it just means the county and the city are talking to each other with subdivisions that come in, water needs.
We're all close enough to each other that the discussions about any kind of development is going to have to be had with everybody.
Well, they want to make sure that any development is up to standards, especially like plumbing, drainage, all that kind of stuff. I thought maybe electrical too, but I'm not sure about that. For sure, the plumbing side of it is inspected and up to a certain standard.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to clarify that. I've seen it, I think, once or twice, and I just wanted to make sure that everybody knew just exactly what the donut area was. We're going to have more with our Sheridan County Commission right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Let's talk about tires. Think about the snowy, icy roads ahead, and now think about your current worn tires. How safe does that make you feel? Well, lucky for you, Midas Tire and Auto has big savings on tires this month. Buy three tires, get one half off, plus consumer rebates from popular brands like Bridgestone, Cooper, and Michelin. Additional rebates up to $200 on select Cooper and Toyo tires. You'll also get peace of mind knowing your tires are back with the Midas Lifetime Guarantee. Getting and keeping you safely on the road. Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
Hey, Colton. Now that the fall season is here, it reminds me of how many things there are to keep track of during the school year.
No kidding. There's the backpacks, pencils, notebooks, but there's also the cleats, gym shoes, band instruments, not to mention everything parents are accounting for on top of it.
Hi, this is Jill Bates with the Bates team at Best, and we know how much work it is, even just remembering everything you need for the next day.
And this is Colton Bates. It's why we work hard to make the real estate process as seamless as possible so you can make the move you want and keep your life moving.
Whether buying or selling, let us help make it the best experience for you.
Give us a call at 675- Best and visit bestwy.net today.
You wish you were being swept away to an exotic place. Instead, you're sweeping up the garage trying to find a place for all your stuff. The Country Bounty can put you in touch with folks willing to pay cash for all those things standing in the way of your vacation. All you have to do is call the Country Bounty, 674-4312. Tell them you want to place an ad where 18,000 potential buyers are ready to send you packing. Get your ad in by Thursdays at 1 p.m. to be in next week's edition. The Country Bounty, 674-4312.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're speaking with Sheridan County Commission Chair Lonnie Wright and Commissioner Christy Haswell. Before we left for the break, we were talking about the donut area. I got a couple different questions that still kind of address the meeting that was held. Was gambling one of the issues that actually came up, Commissioner?
We did talk about gambling briefly. I mean, that was kind of at the end of our meeting. We did not get through the agenda completely. So, there was questions about how – I'm trying to remember the question. Basically, it's a question about how they are approved, I believe. And so the county commission board signs off on a permit for gambling. And the city has the zoning laws, which allows them to be, you know, in a certain location, obviously not downtown. I think all of them are off Main Street on Coffeen. Anyway, there's a push to modify maybe the policy a little bit, but I don't know if that's anything we have power over. It'd be a legislative thing, I'm pretty sure, to modify the policy. So
when it comes to situations like that, you start to receive either a push or a pinch in regard to something like that. Do you sit down with legislators and say, hey, this is an issue that's coming up? And at what point does conversations like that happen?
Both a push or a pinch, I think you would want to make contact with your legislators. we haven't talked to legislation about or legislators about gambling in the past. I didn't know there was an issue, but I think maybe the city's, you know, going to be blunt. I think they're feeling a little bit left out on the funding side. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they get any money from the gambling and from the gambling.
I can't remember that formula, like the winnings or anything like that.
So, yeah.
So that'll be an issue that comes up later on down the line.
Probably. Well, yep.
You know, we do, the commissioners have our legislative conference in Cheyenne while session is going, and we try to meet our legislators for dinner, vote as a body on a lot of these bills and try to say, hey, we support this, great idea, or hey, you know, we feel okay about this, but did you think about this repercussion?
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of what it looks like for us as boots on the ground. Sometimes it helps, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
So,
in other words, sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't.
to say it for what it is, absolutely. I appreciate you for that one. All right. Now, were there any points of contention between the city and the county that listeners should be aware of that came up during that meeting?
I don't think so, Floyd. I thought it was a great way to kick off this whole meeting idea. I give Stuart McCray 100% credit for coming to the county commission and asking if we wanted to do this, and I think it worked out great. We have another meeting planned in January 13th at 9 o'clock in the morning at the courthouse. I didn't hear any big, you know, no one got their underwear in a twist about anything that I know of.
I think the intent was really just to be communicating more.
Yeah.
Not really that there's a conflict around anything. We get along really well with the city.
Just to make sure that all those avenues of communication are wide open and everybody knows everything and having those conversations.
I think particularly with this long-term planning piece, it's great to be chatting with them more.
Yeah. I mean, you think about Sheridan as a city. It's obviously the biggest city in Sheridan County. And of course the courthouse is in Sheridan. So it has a big influence all around the county, what happens in Sheridan. And of course Sheridan is in the county, so we have to work together.
Yeah.
I guess I would be interested to maybe either have a separate meeting or include the other towns in Sheridan County, you know, have the mayors and their city council folks come. It might be a better thing to have a separate meeting because, they could get overwhelmed.
And we used to, but I think, I mean, it's a big group to manage, and it's hard to be efficient with time and topics when you've got 15, 20 people in the room.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, I like that
separate
idea.
Meeting, maybe.
Yeah.
I think that would be fantastic. Maybe even if it's quarterly, annually, biannually, just everybody comes together, even if it's for a couple days.
Yeah.
Sure enough.
Set that off to the side, once, twice a year, mm-hmm. and everybody either brings their projects forward or talks about countywide planning.
Yeah.
We start looking at the county as the entity itself, as opposed to just one or two different locations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that would be a fantastic idea. I really hope something comes out of that. And I know some people out there probably agree. Now, moving on down the line, when did the winter weather coordination meeting take place?
Yeah, so that was yesterday morning at the courthouse, and that included fire and rescue, the VA, City of Sheridan, our county folks, Highway Patrol, and the National Weather Service was there to give us a brief slideshow on what they do and what the winter's shaping up to look like. So it's really just a chance to get together, review the winter weather plan, talk about when. Like the school districts, for example, start assessing whether they're going to delay school or not have school for the day. Coordination with road and bridge and when are we getting on roads to plow for school buses? YDOT, when do they decide to close a road? So just a good way to kind of touch on everything before we get going into the winter and Blizzard season.
Before we find ourselves looking outside, wondering what we should do next. What were some of the key takeaways that you felt were vital to the community?
They did confirm, of course, I'm sure folks are into their weather, know it's going to be a La Nina season, which means a little bit more moisture. So we do think we're going to have there's a slightly higher probability that we're going to be above normal precip. And hopefully some drought removal will come from that. Looks like we're going to have average temps. So, Floyd, it won't be colder than normal. I know you just said you were looking forward to winter. So, and then they just touched on some of their warnings, you know, what a watch is, what an advisory is.
When it comes to plowing, what exactly is the county's responsibility in regards to that? Just the county roads on the outskirts there?
Yeah, county roads are our responsibility. There are a couple places where, we might have an agreement with the city or YDOT, just because if they already have equipment in the area, they're closer. Just makes sense for them to do it. But we do the bus routes first, and they kind of start assessing it at, you know, I think it was 3 a.m. on, getting out there where they need to plow, where the worst spots are. And then the airport, of course, they're, you know, looking at assessing kind of all night long and really 2 a.m. They're looking at their plowing needs. When do they need to call more guys in to have more hands on deck? There was some conversation about who's got the snow cats. You know, if you really needed to get to somebody who was stranded in their home and for whatever reason, maybe there's an MDU line down and they don't have electricity. It was just a reminder to everybody that we've got a generator at the fairgrounds now. So if we needed some warm shelter for folks, just little reminders about that.
Yeah.
Coordination work.
I mean, those are the types of things that you really need to go over and know before you need them.
Yeah, for sure.
You don't want to be asking those types of questions when the heat's not on.
No.
Or if you have trouble sleeping at night, that snowplow position at the airport is a really good one for you.
And wow, you know, I really do want to thank every individual who climbs up into one of those pieces of equipment at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., and keeps this entire county, the city, all of us going. I drive over early in the mornings. It's certainly not as early as those individuals are out and about, but lifesavers, I'm here to tell you. We will end up talking about, driving safety when it comes to our plows, just to make sure that we don't have any accidents in the near future. Now, when we look at Sheridan County's severe weather conditions, roads, schools, would you comfortably say, you know what, we're ready? If it gets that bad, you're comfortable with where we're at?
You know, I do. I feel like we've got, a great communication system. Our emergency management coordinator, Jesse Ludekow's, does a great job just trying to just get word out to everybody.
Very dedicated individual.
He is. Our sheriff's department does a fantastic job. There was a lot of conversation about, hey, who might need help with, let's say, equipment. Okay, well, let us know, call us this way, and we'll have equipment stockpiled for you. Okay. You know, for example, if the VA needed help with stuff. Mm-hmm. Part of the conversation too, just talking about precipitation differences, because we've got some precip devices up on the mountain just to track precip and be a little ahead of it if we were to get a big gusher. But Jesse was given the example of Dayton getting, I think it was 0.9 inches, and then Pass Creek got over like 1.3 inches. That makes a big difference. So we could have snow drifts in one part of the county and be fine somewhere else. So being able to be fluid like that, I think, is important. I feel really confident about everybody in the county and the coordination.
Just out of curiosity, when it does come to the VA, that's considered federal ground?
It is.
And there have to be, documents in place, agreements pre-made for anything like that? Or can they just give you a ring and say, hey, you know what? We could use a hand digging ourselves out.
Yeah, I don't believe we have an MOU with the VA. It's just really coordination with their emergency management manager, Gene Hale, who does a really nice job up there. Yeah, it's just a phone call.
Everything's still done on a handshake.
Yeah, I would say officially, yes, there's tons of paper that needs to be filled out and all kinds of agreements. But in reality, you know, yeah, like Christy said, somebody drops a dime on Road and Bridge, and if they need help, we're probably going to get there as quick as we can.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's almost kind of more reassuring for me for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I came up around here, you know.
You know, it was really interesting for me just when we had to form that incident management team during COVID, you know, the VA was a big, big part of that.
Yeah.
And I think if there's a silver lining to COVID, it just got everybody at the table.
Yeah.
And those relationships started being built or made stronger. Yep. So
I would agree with you on that. A lot of individuals have actually told me that offline. You know, where they said, look, if we're going to look at this, anything that could have possibly positive came out of that, it's this. The partnerships that were formed, the individuals who realized pretty early on, hey, we're going to have to lean on each other through this whole thing. Those relationships going forward, much stronger.
Yeah.
And people, I think, have a better idea of how to react to situations together. As opposed to a single entity.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing when we are in Cheyenne for legislature or if we're at a WCCA event. Getting to know people other than just a name and a picture.
Yeah.
Getting to talk to them, finding out about, you know, at WCCA we have sometimes all the county commissioners in the whole state in one place. And so you can talk to them about what they're going through and what they did to solve a problem. And you can transfer that back to Sheridan County sometimes, maybe. It's worth a lot to network like that and to get to know these folks. And not only the county commissioners, but the state electeds too. So it's good to rub some skin with them and shake hands.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the federal government could take a couple lessons about that right now.
Right.
It's amazing the problems that can get solved when everybody comes to the table.
Yes.
Yeah, thank goodness federal government isn't plowing our roads right now.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. All right, can you explain how the State Trails Program actually supported building the obstacle track at Three Poles?
Yeah, so this was a great opportunity. We have a grant. So I'm chairwoman of the Public Land Users Committee. We've got about five or six members. And Three Poles is a state lease that the county holds. And we have a MOU with them to operate and maintain that park. We applied for a grant or made aware of a grant opportunity through the State Trails Program. So not to be confused with State Land Board.
Okay.
And, you know, in talking to them and them being aware of our grant and some of our needs up there, you know, we said, hey, we're thinking about, you know, our next steps, maybe building this obstacle course. And they're like, we've got equipment. We can kind of come up and help you do that. And so it was the end of September, beginning of October, they came up. So there's this fantastic obstacle track out there now, thanks to the State Trails Program.
They've got it all wrapped up.
Yeah, they got tires out there, boulder, little track that you can go through, railroad ties. Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Where is this located?
So this is on Beatty Gulch. So just as you're heading to Decker, just after you cross the bridge, you take a right on Beatty Gulch, and it's maybe a couple miles back there.
You know, I speak with a lot of individuals, you know, Sheridan Community Land Trust, Recreation Center. I've heard from city council members. I think possibly maybe even we've had this conversation as well in the past. But how important recreational use of our local area is to the residents here.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard people say that's the whole reason why I moved here.
Exactly. I see that. sometimes you'll see so-and-so is moving here for a job, and they'll have a little blurb about themselves. And inevitably it's, you know, hiking, biking, dirt bikes, four-wheelers, horseback. A lot of recreational stuff that we do around here is a big part of their life. And so you can see why they want to come here.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty unique lease. There's not a lot of recreational leases on state land, which I think was part of the appeal for the state trails program to come up. There's not a lot of places you can do this.
Mm-hmm. So they wanted to give a little flex here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, all love to ride dirt bikes
exactly.
as well, right?
Go out and have a little fun.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, the Public Land Users Committee was started in 2003 in response to a closure of some state lands near town. It was incorporated in 2004 to work to promote responsible public uses for public lands. So, and then in 2009, that's when the county leased the Three Poles area for ORV users.
With successes like this, these successful partnerships and grants that go through, do we watch usage on this? Ma'am, like, will the committee come together and say, okay, it's being well used or not well used?
Yeah, and it's kind of ebbed and flowed over the years. And initially, it was just dirt bikes. And then, I don't know, maybe 6-7 years ago, we started seeing much more side-by-side UTV mm-hmm. when that boom kind of happened. And so we ended up adjusting some track out there to support those users. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, being able to do the picnic shelters out there, you know, when moms have little kids and they need some shade, it gets hot out there in the summer. So that was a big one. And our Boy Scouts really helped, the Eagle Scouts helped build those. So now we're looking at, you know, the next thing beyond operations and maintenance was, you know, can we do anything for bicycles out there? Or have a little more defined little kids track?
Develop the next generation of adventurers.
Yep.
I think that would be absolutely fantastic. And when I was a kid, boy, you were, you know, probably not the safest thing in the world, but we were riding in the bar ditch, you know, off the side of the road. You go back to Star Valley, every single ditch has got a trail.
Yeah.
Every single ditch has got a trail and jumps over creeks and irrigation ditches. And that was just, I mean, it was part of life.
Yeah.
Driving home, you saw the dirt bikes out there. You saw the three-wheelers at the time.
Yeah.
People out there having fun. Having a dedicated location to be able to go up and do this makes it safer for everybody. And you can build a community off of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So now you know that it's going to be snowing on the mountain. People won't be riding up there as much anymore. So we hope to see a lot more interest out at Three Poles during the fall.
Could you get some cross country skiing done up there?
You could. I don't know if you'd want to. I mean,
not
you
really
know,
built for the cross country.
The jumps and the but we did actually. We had some folks want to bring their snowmobiles out.
Oh, there you
last
go.
Winter.
Yeah. Would that be okay?
It's okay. Yeah, as long as we're not tearing up the track, if there's enough snow cover, you know, so.
Then folks.
Because you can't get dirt bikes out there, so yeah.
So there's a whole section of the community right now looking forward to that white stuff
hitting
the ground.
Yeah.
Because they got a new place to go play. That's fantastic. On that, I'm going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Sheridan County Commission right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Hi, this is is Jill Bates with the Bates Team at Best. Kids are back in school. The temperatures are starting to cool. So now is the time to take a deep breath before your next big thing starts. But just because classrooms are opened up, the summer is behind us, doesn't mean that the real estate market has cooled off. The fall season is one of the best times to sell and market your property, with things a little calmer and often cozier weather throughout the day. And for buyers, now is the time to jump on that perfect home for you, so you're all set for the winter season ahead. Let us help find the best fit for you. Give us a call at 675-BEST and visit bestoby.net today.
This is the captain at Captain Clean. Did you know your carpet acts like a giant air filter, collecting allergens, bacteria, and all sorts of other treasures? Let our experts at Captain Clean prolong the life of your carpet, protect your indoor air quality, and make your carpet proud to call itself carpet again. Call Captain Clean today, 672-0726, and schedule your next carpet cleaning. Captain Clean, affordable choices for healthy living.
We clean more for you.
Shan Foster with Country Pet Inn and All Around Canine. You've had great success in adopting some of the more difficult dogs from the dog and cat shelter.
We've adopted close to 23 dogs from the animal shelter. About 85% have gone into service dog work.
And that's made a difference in both their lives and the owners.
Yeah, I'd like to think so.
Yeah. So in some way, maybe the ones that people often consider to be difficult have potential that just isn't being correctly tapped into.
Yes, you see that a lot in your high drive dogs, where people don't know how to deal with the energy.
And so it's kind of interesting to match a person with potential who needs a little help.
Well said.
And then an animal with potential that also needs a little help, and they can kind of work together.
That's what you're looking for, where one is needing help in one area, the other is in another, and they meet in the middle. You're looking for how they can help each other in different situations when needed, because it truly is a team.
If you're struggling with your pet, take the first step on a better path. Contact Shan Foster at countrypetinn.com.
It's Thursday, and Sheridanmedia.com's Fall Online Marketplace Hot Buys are open today only. One day pop-up shop featuring local retailers, gifts, gear, goodies with starting bids at half price. Bidding closes at 8 p.m. tonight. Go to SharedMedia.com. Click on that Fall Marketplace Hot Buys banner every Thursday. SharedMedia.com's Fall Online Marketplace. Shop smart, shop local, shop today till 8 p.m.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. Bradley, brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. Our guests laughing with me this morning, Sheridan County Commission Chair Lonnie Wright, Commissioner Christy Haswell. All right. The decisions voters are going to be making rather soon, from what I understand, on the fire district ballot in Bighorn, Dayton, Clermont, Story, and Tongue River. Can you explain those?
I can. Those ballots are mailed out through our illustrious U.S. Postal Service. And for instance, the ballot that comes to my house and in my district is Bighorn. And it's a ballot to elect the directors of that fire district. So in our fire district, we have one opening, one person whose term is up. And so, yeah, there's a guy that is wanting to repeat the position. So no one else has put their name in. So it's
going to be a pretty quick election.
It's a very quick election. Unless, like I told you earlier, there's a huge write-in campaign. I don't see that happening. Oh. But.
And thank goodness for those fire districts.
Yes,
that's absolutely kind of a thankless job.
It and then is, yeah.
I think there's a little more appreciation after Elk Fire and
yeah,
there's House a lot. Draw, just
yeah, I think a lot of people got to know their fire district directors, and for sure got to know their firemen from those districts. So,
yeah.
So I don't know about the other fire districts if they have multiple people who are up or if it's just one in each one, but.
Look for those ballots in your mailbox.
Yep.
Commissioners, if someone is just hearing about this for the first time in the area and they're curious, maybe they want to get to know the individual, maybe they want to find more information on all of this, where do they need to go? What can they do?
So the elections office would have the contact information provided by those candidates.
Right. That's exactly right.
All right. So head on down to the elections office, sit down, have a conversation. And those folks are great down there. They'll gladly sit down, have a conversation with you, bring you up to speed. That way you're a good, informed voter, if I could get that out. But from what I hear, there's only one candidate you got to learn about.
So. Yeah. And he's a great guy. One of my best friends.
Now, moving on down the line, Bighorn Recreation Center and the conditional use permit it has filed. What is this?
So this is what the Bighorn Rec Center needs to get approved by or reviewed by planning and zoning. They then make a recommendation to the county commissioners, and then we would approve or deny the conditional use permit.
What is this conditional use permit actually?
You know, when it's
to?
When it's a usage that doesn't fit into what's allowed by zoning, mm-hmm. they either need to change the zoning or submit a conditional use permit. And I like to see conditional use permits, just because I think it's some assurances for the county, for the neighbors that, you know, they're going to be doing what they said they were going to be doing in their application. Mm-hmm. The lighting's going to be what they said it was going to be or that we asked them. Mm-hmm. If we just change the zoning, there's really no way we can police anything. Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you really brought that up, because that's a situation that I don't think, I mean, unless you're trying to get some sleep at 3 a.m. and all of a sudden a light shining through the window and you can't figure out where it's coming from. You look outside and you've got this big baseball field or something that someone's decided to go out and use that late. Mm-hmm. You don't realize that kind of thing can come up until you are a neighbor. And those concerns are now suddenly altering your life somehow.
Yeah. Or let's say, gosh, Bighorn Recreation Center sounds like it's going to be incredibly, you know, successful, the planning that they've done, the fundraising that they've done.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. But, you know, just hypothetically, let's say they go under. If we were to do a rezone and they then sold the property.
Who knows what it's going to be? So oftentimes these come before us, the CUPs come before us, and it's a more of a commercial business. And so they're very, I guess I would say handy to make them a CUP, because exactly what Commissioner Haswell said, if they go under, if they default in any way, that zoning on that land is exactly what it was before. Mm-hmm. So it did not get changed.
And so the next either company or organization that moves in there has got to file their own CUP stating that they will, stating that they won't.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can look through those guidelines. I can completely understand why someone would go that route for that very reason, because if that's, as you said, rezone, it's almost out of your control.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a really interesting point.
I think typically more recently for us, those rezones have applied to subdivisions. So if it's agricultural and they need to go to rural residential, then it's appropriate. But, you know, there's a time and place for
everything.
All of those permits. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, someone out there probably just learned the importance of a CUP as opposed to just a rezone.
Yeah.
It gives everybody a little more control. Got about 3 minutes left. Let's talk about those property taxes really fast. There's just a couple quick announcements you want to make.
So our assessor, Paul Fall, just wanted to let folks know that those property tax exemptions are open. There's the 25% homeowner exemption. So this is the one that was automatic last year. It is not automatic anymore. They have to go in and apply for this, and they can only apply online. So this is the 25% exemption on the fair market value that applies to the first $1 million of fair market value. We also have the 50% long-term homeowner exemption. Folks can download the application from the website. Again, that opened October 1st. Both of these did. This one closes May 26th. So this one's for folks. The 50% is for folks that have lived in Wyoming for 25 years, paid property taxes, and they're 65 years or older. The other one, applies to all folks who own property in Wyoming, but that closes February 2nd. So it's a smaller window. So we just want to make sure folks don't miss that. And then of course we have the veterans exception that's opened, and the property tax refund program that's run through the state. So those are the four that are out there, and folks can just go to our website to the assessor's page and find all that information.
Make sure you're getting those in there, folks. These programs are here for you. They're going to help out. I know a lot of property tax payers out there understand this already, but once again, the 25% homeowner exemption, not automatic this year.
And you can't apply for both.
Okay.
You can't just go down the line, apply for 25%, apply for 50%, apply for the veterans. So you pick one or the other.
And veterans, make sure that you've got your DD-214 and your ID on you.
Yeah, boy. Thank you.
Yeah, it's starting to remind me, where the heck is mine? You know what I mean? I better figure out where that thing is. All right. I want to thank you both so much for coming in this morning, having a couple laughs with me, and having a good time talking about these very important issues that affect all of us.
Enjoyed it, as always. Thank you, Floyd.
Thanks, Floyd. It was great. Thank you.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Shared it.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
YO Theater and Trident Theater team up for the fifth year in a row to present the cult classic The Rocky Horror Picture Show. Join us as we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the release of the film, as we use a shadow cast of local actors to follow along with some of your favorite scenes. Callbacks, costumes, and props are encouraged during the performance. Join this sexy and spooky sci-fi party at 7 p.m. on October 30th at the YO. Check out yotheater.com to get your tickets. The Rocky Horror Picture Show. Let's do the time warp again. Rated R.
Winter weather can wreak havoc on your vehicle. Sheridan Auto Spa can help you protect your vehicle inside and out from damage and deterioration. Applying a ceramic coating from Sheridan Auto Spa creates a protective barrier against environmental elements. Interior detailing protects upholstery, leather, and vinyl from fading, cracking, and staining. Protect your investment with a detailing package from Sheridan Auto Spa. Gift certificates also available and make a great gift. Sheridan Auto Spa in Sheridan.
This public service message is presented by BHJ Property Management at 101 South Main.
Join us Monday, October 20, at St. Peter's Episcopal Church for a free NAMI Sheridan workshop on intuitive eating with licensed clinician Amanda Parks. Discover a new way to approach food and body image with joy and balance. Dinner at 5:30, workshop at 6:30. Child care is free and everyone is welcome.
Hey, it's Andrew, the Analyst Point, First Northern Bank VIP, airing out my picks in the First Northern Bank Carroll's Furniture Pro Football Pick'em. Here's what happened on the morning show this week.
I'm feeling a 12-point week scary. This week.
Feeling you're what? Feeling a 12-point week?
I am.
I'll
I'm
take
just
the
saying,
field on
no,
that.
I'm just saying,
I'll take the field
under?
On that one.
Yeah, over under?
Yeah. Actually, right. You know what? Let's make a we'll do this officially. Let's make a bet. If you get 12, I'll bring donuts in next week.
I'll
bet that.
So if I don't get 12, what do I need to do?
You bring donuts.
Yeah. It's a straight donut pick.
Okay, I'm going to bring...
We're getting donuts either
yeah,
way.
Okay, all right, yeah. Perfect. I'm good with that.
Good luck, Chuck. Carroll's Furniture VIP here, inviting you to play along for a chance to win a $100 gift card from Pit Crew to you. Click on the Pro Football Pick'em banner on the contest page on SheridanMedia.com and tune in every Wednesday morning to KROE 103.9 FM at 7:30 to hear our picks and how I dominated.
This is Ed McIntosh with your song requests on Classic Country Sunday. We're live from 8 until noon every Sunday.